promises. And we thank you for every one of them, Lord. We've had so many promises, I doubt that we could even count them all. All the times preachers have come by and given us something from the Word. Every time there's been a tongues and interpretation of tongues. Every time that you have blessed us in our own time of prayer and devotion, that you've blessed us with promises. Lord, I give you the glory. I give you the glory and the praise, Lord. I thank you for every one of them. I thank you for all of them, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to read from Genesis chapter 12. Pray the Lord would help me tonight. You know, I know probably nobody here has been paying attention to the news, but I've been checking it. And I don't know. Seemed like this voice came to me. I don't know. Said, y'all judge however this is. Maybe just for me. But he said, his voice said, I'm the one that raises up leaders and brings them down. And the reason you are over-interested, felt rebuked here in the news, is because you're trusting in polls and what they report to you more than you trust in me. And I am your hope. Now, I heard that voice. Seemed like he said a couple other things to me. I don't know if that speaks to anybody else here, but it seemed like I felt like I needed to back off the news and start meditating on God more. Amen. Amen. I may not be for you. You may not even know that there's such a thing as news. or an election or something like that, you know, going on. I don't know. But at any rate, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, said, Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I want to preach on the inspiration of a promise. The Lord gave some instruction to Abraham here. I know his name is Abram at this point. His name's not changed, but we know him as Abraham by the time that the Lord had changed his name. But God gave him some instruction first. Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred and thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And then God gave him a promise in verse 2 and 3. Great promises. I guess you could say there's around 7 things there that God promised to Abraham. But to me, all of the other stuff that God gave him to do hinged on his belief in the promise. Isn't it amazing that God gave him things to do and then didn't reason with him, say, now, you know, you ought to do this because of this. He gave him things to do and then gave him a promise. And if Abraham believed the promise, he was automatically going to fulfill all of these other things. There was an inspiration about the promise. That's the same way with just about anybody. You know, you go to work for me and I'll pay you. at the end of the week. Why do they work? To get paid. They have to believe that the employer is going to give them some money at the end of the day or at the end of the week or end of 2 weeks, however that it is. Be good and we'll get you an ice cream cone. Huh? Or do all your schoolwork and you'll get to play your special game, whatever it is. You know, there's a promise that brings an inspiration to people doing things. Abraham was the father of the faithful. The reason that he obeyed all of these precepts was because he was inspired by the promises. Now let me just tell you something. Sometimes people get saved and there's a certain conviction and fear that comes upon them. And that's a rightful thing. Really, folks, believing that God judges sin is faith. And it's a fearful thing when you're sinning. I have to admit, it's a terribly fearful thing. But at the same time, believing that there's a judgment and believing that there's consequences to sin is a part of believing the Bible. That's one of the first steps of faith. But there comes a time in somebody's life where you're not just believing that there's a judgment for disobedience, where that there's a judgment if you disobey God's will. There's an inspiration to obey because you believe the promises. Because you've gotten a relationship. I believe that many a time somebody starts out in fearful conviction and they get saved and then they see the amazing grace and oh, how much they want to obey God when they realize how much grace he had upon them. Listen, Abraham had grace upon him. From what Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, I believe it is, amen, it seemed to me like Abraham was in a family of idolaters, a land of idolaters, and I would say he himself was an idolater. But God spoke to an idol worshiper that was raised an idol worshiper in the land of idol worshipers and said, come out of there. Glory to God, that's grace. That was grace. But you know, there's also faith in the promise that got this man moving from one place to another. And I want to say this to every one of us. We have many promises. There's promises that are bountiful for throughout the Word of God, a prayer and all kinds of different things that are for everybody. But there's promises, Sister Jen has already referred to it, promises to this church. Brother Eddie referred to Brother Randy getting up and saying he felt like that souls were fixing to get saved. And Brother Eddie said he accepted that, but he didn't feel it until maybe this week he started feeling it in his own soul. Listen, folks, we've had promises. Brother McDonald was with us a couple of Sundays ago, and tongues and interpretation said that God would bring our families in as we fasted and prayed for them, right? That's a promise. Now, listen, you say fasting, praying. Maybe not necessarily praying, but fasting. But what about souls? You look at the inspiration of the promise and you say, well, I'd be glad to fast and pray for souls to be saved. Amen. And so this is what I hope I can get where I am inspiring you, but the fact is Abraham was moved and inspired to obey God, even though it was an amazing thing that God asked him to do, but he believed the promise. And it got him moving. And if we believe the promise, I think it'll do something to us. There's some personal things, no doubt, that God has spoken to you about. You, your family, some prayers, maybe things you've never told anybody. But you feel like God's given you a promise. I just say, get moving. Amen. Be inspired by it. Thank God for it. Praise him and worship him about it. Act upon it. Amen. Even in the New Testament, it says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, because we have these promises, let's live a holy life. Let's live a pure life. In other words, the promise should inspire our living. It should inspire the way that we do. So let's look at here. This is composed of two things. God gave him some precepts. God gave him some promises. He believed the promises and did the precepts. Amen. It says, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto a land that I will show thee. The precept was basically twofold. Abraham was to leave one place and go to another. To obey these precepts, there were great things involved. First of all, there was separation. Amen, get thee out. That is the command to separate. That is the call of separation. He was separating from a place, his country, from a people, thy kindred, and thy father's house. And the scriptures also make plain from the story of Abraham that he had to quit his past, which was idol worshiping. He had to separate himself. Now listen, he probably would have never separated himself from the place and his people and his past if he didn't believe the promise. Can I tell you, holiness does not hurt when people really believe God. When people really get in contact with God. And many a times folks nowadays are wanting to become so like the world that there's no difference between the church and the world, except that somehow we've had some little sprinkling of faith and we're the same people that the world is. We just go to church. Well, that's not really so. We're supposed to be a separate people. Amen. F.B. Meyer said this, it is impossible to move our times so long as we live beneath their spell. But when once we have risen up and gone at the call of God outside their pale, we are able to react on them with an irresistible power. Archimedes, and he's the guy that had the lever, you know, he came up with the theory of the lever. But he said that he could lift the world if only he could obtain outside of the world a pivot on which to rest a gigantic lever. Do not be surprised then, F.B. Meyer said, if God calls the church out to be a people to himself, that by you he may react with blessed power on the great world of men. We can move the world by being outside the world. Y'all get what he was saying there? Amen. And so separation's not a bad thing. How can we help the world by being a part of the world? We can't do it. Y'all know that. And Abraham helped the whole world by coming out from his people and being a separate person. This separation was commanded here of Abraham in a twofold manner. He was to come out that he might go in to the promised land. Some people always just sour on the come out part. Amen. And some people, amen, just like them two drunks looked in a church service one night, said, what are they doing in there? And the other one said, I don't know, but they're sure not happy about it, whatever it is. Amen. There's some people that's pretty sour about coming out from the world. I'll tell you, we do not just separate from unholy things. We come out to come into the promised land. We've got something that God has blessed us with. And I just want you to understand, young people especially, I want to tell you that the gospel and holiness is not just come out. It's all these promises as well. Now, if you ever get saved and you just say, well, I gave up this, you'll be miserable as long as you're looking up at the stuff you gave up. Amen. At least with a longing there. You understand? I mean, a lot of us so turn from it that we just can't hardly believe we did that one time, you know? And we're ashamed of it. But if you look at it with longing and say, boy, I got to give this up. And don't ever look at what you get in replacement. You're going to be sad. But there's joy in those that come out to go into the promised land. Hey, amen. When they're looking ahead, when they realize that God has all kinds of good things for them. Let me also say that this was a thing of not only separation, but sacrifice. Because in order to obey this, he had to leave his family and his home and whatever he had right there in Ur of the Chaldees. He had to come out from that. And whatever comfort zone there was, he had to leave it. Listen, folks, sometimes in order to really have revival, we got to get out of our comfort zone. Amen. We got to get out of our own little schedule, our own little things that we do all the time, and get into a place where there's something new, it's something amazing. Amen. That is maybe sacrificial in some sense, but it's still something wonderful. We look back now upon this decision, and we don't think of it as a sacrifice, do we? We look at it as a grand adventure, and we say, thank God Abraham was able to do it. But at the point that God spoke to him, Abraham had to lay some things spiritually upon the altar. He had to sacrifice some things. But we know that it ended in something much, much better. There was also labor in this. You have to understand, he had a lot of flocks and family members and all kinds of servants. And you know, God was asking him to move 600 miles without U-Haul. Amen. Donkeys and, amen, caravans, camels, tents. Moving 600 miles from Ur of the Chaldees all the way to Canaan. I'll tell you what, that don't sound like an easy job. You know, God has never really done much with lazy people. Be they lazy in a natural sense or in a spiritual sense. And I've seen some people that wasn't a bit lazy about working in a physical sense, but you couldn't get them to pray and be faithful in God's way of working and laboring for nothing. But I've seen others, you know, just like that old saying is, you want to get a job done, give it to a busy man. You know why? Because he's a worker. There's some people that's learned how to work, not only in a physical way, but also in a spiritual way. That's the way this man was. But it was a move of faith. There was a move in faith. I talked to you about he had to believe the promises, but he said, get out of this land that you can see to a land that I will show you. He had to believe that God was going to show him something. He had to believe that the voice that spoke to him was going to show him something better than he could see right then. Amen. Whatever there was in Ur of the Chaldees, whatever riches and blessings that there was there, whatever family that he enjoyed there, he had to believe that that voice that spoke to him had something better that he could not see. And believe it. I'll tell you, that's faith. Amen. When you believe what God says, even when you can't see it. And so he packed up and he started out on his spiritual journey. Why? Because he was inspired by that voice and he believed there was a better land and he believed the promises. Again, I'm going to quote from F.B. Meyer. He said, God's commands are not always accompanied by reasons, but always by promises, expressed or understood. To give reasons would excite discussion. But to give a promise shows that the reason, though hidden, is all sufficient. We can understand the promise, though the reason might baffle and confuse us. The reason is intellectual, metaphysical, spiritual, but a promise is practical, positive, and literal. In other words, God didn't say, hey, listen, you need to leave this place and go to a place I'm going to show you, and this is the reason. Point one, point two, point three. He didn't say it that way. He said, if you do this, I've got a promise for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when people by faith grab a hold of the promise, that's reason enough. Hey, man, let's look at the future of this promise. Considerable time went by between the time of the speaking of it and the fulfillment of it. But the promise was just as true when it was spoken as when it was fulfilled. And I know sometimes we get a promise and we get excited right at the beginning and we say, hallelujah, let's move on out. Let's just get to preparing. And then there's a little time between, and there's some weakening of maybe of our expectation and of our faith. I'm going to tell you, amen, the promise was just as good the first day Abraham heard it as to when it was actually totally fulfilled. Amen. However many years later it was. And I want to preach to you right now and tell you there may be some time between the promise and the fulfillment of it. But it's always going to be just as good even in between. Amen. Some people say, boy, it's great getting a promise and it's great receiving the promise. But I want to tell you, it's just as true in between. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. In all reality, if we grab a hold by faith, we can rejoice in between. We can thank God in between the giving of the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. Y'all believe Jesus is coming again, don't you? And I want to ask you, have you ever heard somebody preached or came across something in the Bible and it just excited you that Jesus was coming? I mean, have you ever rejoiced that Jesus was coming? I have. I'll tell you, I've just been excited about it. And he didn't come. But you know what? The promise is just as good today as it is the very moment that it's fulfilled, friend. That's why somebody by faith can rejoice in it before it happens. You can rejoice about how good it felt when you got it. You can rejoice about how good it's going to be when it actually takes place. But you can rejoice in the fact that God said it and it's true right here in the middle. Amen. Oh, let's talk about the number of the promises. There's at least seven promises in this, okay? First of all, I will make thee a great nation. Secondly, I will bless thee. Thirdly, I will make thy name great. Fourth, thou shalt be a blessing. Fifth, I will bless them that bless thee. Sixth, I will curse them that curse thee. And seventh, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I don't know about you, but I believe all of these have been fulfilled. It's a historic fact. Israel is a great nation. It's going to be greater when Jesus rules there, but I'm telling you, it's already a great nation. Secondly, I will bless thee. We see that in the history of Abraham, but we also see it even in his children and how that God has blessed them. I will make thy name great. Listen, Abraham is one of the most revered names and people throughout the whole world. It doesn't matter, even though, you know, Muslims are demonic religion, they still revere Abraham. The Jewish people have not received the Messiah, but they still revere Abraham. And we that are Christians look at him as the father of those that have faith in God. Hey man, I want you to know his name is great already. And God has blessed him and said, thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee. Says, wait a second, thou shalt be a blessing. Remember how he rescued the people from the kings that came against Sodom and Gomorrah. He went and battled. Amen. And by his might and by his servants, he was able to rescue them. He was a blessing. But I'll tell you, the people of Israel have been a blessing to the world. I will bless them that bless thee. I want to ask you, hasn't that been fulfilled in the United States of America? As long as we have stood with Israel, I think that it's been one of the reasons we've had peace and prosperity down through the years. I will curse them that curse thee. Look at all the other nations that eventually they've come against Israel, even Germany. Look at the way that God brought that place down. I want you to know there is a truth to this. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Amen. I want you to understand by Jesus' birth through the family of Abraham, the whole world has been able to be incorporated into this family of faith. Amen. And we're blessed in faith, just like Abraham was through Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, the Son of God, but yes, the Son of Abraham as well. I want you to understand all of this has been fulfilled, and even in a greater way will be fulfilled. But I want you to notice this. If you compare what God told Abraham to do in the precepts with the number of the promises, I want you to know there was more promises than there was precepts. Hallelujah. Come out, amen, and go in, and I will bless you in this manner. And that's exactly the way that I want us to understand this. Yes, there are things that God expects us to do, but God's promises are so much more bountiful and rich and blessed. Amen. And such a mighty storehouse of His treasures compared to the little things that He asks us to do. Yeah, be good and I'll get you ice cream cone. Amen. Yeah, come on now. Amen. Do your homework. Get A's on that. And I'll give you whatever. You know, I just want you to understand, folks, the reward is better. Amen. Our little bit of obedience is nothing compared to what He promises us. Our little bit of sacrifice is nothing compared to what He gives us. Our little bit of what we give up in separation is nothing compared to what we get. Hallelujah. There's seven promises to these little bit of commands. Amen. Here it is. He gives these precepts. Amen. And He gives the promises. So in Scripture, you will generally find promises located after precepts. Yes, there's commands, but thank God there's promises. Amen. But I also want to tell you, with the promise, there was opposition. In fact, every bit of common sense seemed to make it like that these things could not take place. Amen. It was impossible. Impossible circumstances oppose just about every promise. Every promise is therefore a test of our faith. Do we give greater weight to the circumstances or the promise? Who do we believe more? Faith will vote in favor of the promises. Unbelief will vote in favor of the circumstances. So Abraham's circumstances did nothing to encourage the fulfillment of the promise made to him by his summons. But as Scripture teaches repeatedly, circumstances are no match to God's promises. Hallelujah. Every promise made to Abraham was victorious over the opposing circumstance. How that ought to lift our spirits and cause us not only not to let circumstances get us down when they seem against the fulfillment of God's promises, but turn our heart full and completely to God and to His truthfulness. That one that sent His Son and put His Son in the most terrible of circumstances, death upon a cross, but on the third day raising Him from the dead out of the most horrible circumstance. Who could have ever believed that Jesus would come out of the grave? Amen. Nobody. I'll tell you, that's exactly what God did. Amen. Circumstances are no match for God's promises, my friend. There was a fulfillment of the promises, the fulfillment of the first promise and all the others that I just went through and talked to you about, how that God had blessed the children of Israel. And I want to tell you right now, amen, the fulfillment ultimately is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so can you understand how this man was inspired by the promises to obedience? If you have served the Lord in a certain sense in fear, that's good. I'm glad you believe that God judges sin. I'm glad that you believe that God is a holy God and will reward evil iniquity. I also want you to be inspired, because the same God that says the wages of sin is death talks about how that if you'll call unto me, I will answer you. Amen. That same God, that tells you if you disobey your parents, you're going to be judged for it. But there's another side to that promise as well. Amen. He'll bless you with long life. Yes, there's two sides to this. I know some people believe that God hears every vile and evil word that somebody would say. But listen, he also hears you when you praise him and when you speak good about him. Amen. You know that God hears our thoughts and knows our thoughts afar off, the Bible says. But I'll tell you, when you're thinking good about God, hears that as well. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Listen, church, God's blessed us with promises. God's blessed us with promises of answered prayer, of souls being saved, of a church being revived, of people having healings and miracles. And we've seen it somewhat, but I believe that God wants to multiply this and bless it in certain other matters and measures to build up our faith. Amen. So as we grab a hold of these promises, just like the father of those that believe grabbed a hold of his, he moved out. It compelled him to action. It moved him to doing something. Yes, it moved him to separation and sacrifice and labor and all these things. But I'll tell you, the sacrifice and labor was light. Amen. And the separation was nothing when the promise came to pass. Glory to God. I like to be inspired and moved by the promises. Glory to God. Glory to God. I don't know how it was. 600 miles with camels and servants and donkeys and who knows what else. It's probably dusty. It's probably dirty. Probably sweat poured off of them. A lot of work. In between the hearing and the fulfillment, there was some sweat and labor, and there was probably somebody that complained along the way, because there always is. Brother McDonald says some people complain if the ice cream's cold, you know. There always is. But you know, I believe Abraham would continually go back to the promise. It's sweat now, but it's going to be sweet later. It's labor now. It's going to be rest later. Amen. Oh, yes. It's traveling now, but I'm going to have my promise here in a little while. I know God spoke to me. It's going to happen. And it has happened. Amen. Could we all stand? I don't know. You may be in between the hearing of the promise and the fulfillment, but I want you to stay inspired on your journey. I want you to keep going, keep moving. Amen. Keep obeying. And there may be somebody here say, boy, I'll tell you, I've separated, but I hadn't looked at what the Lord's going to bring me into. You need to get to looking at the promised land, folks. Amen. Could you raise your hands and thank God again for every promise the Lord's given us? Lord, I want to thank you for every promise. I want to thank you for every promise. I want to praise you for every promise, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for every promise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let we all come around this altar, and I want you to bring up those promises that God's blessed you with. I want you to thank Him for it. Keep your eyes on it. Keep on traveling. Be inspired by the promises. Hallelujah.
Every promise in the book.